Want code that anticipates and smartly responds to events? This presentation, CC202 Assessment, Hook System Deep Dive, shows you how. We'll explore automated event reactions, managing execution life cycles, and architectural guardrails. By the end, you'll understand hook systems inside and out. Hooks are automated interventions that run behind the scenes. Think of it this way: on one hand, you have commands and skills. These require someone to actively start them, like running a deploy command. Then you see all the steps: build, validation, testing, and deployment. Hooks, on the other hand, are triggered automatically by system events. The big difference is commands need a person to kick things off. Hooks just happen. The 7-event lifecycle is designed to strategically intercept the agentic loop. Think of session start and stop, plus the moments before and after tool use, and even pre-compaction. These are key intervention points. Each hook temporarily pauses the agentic loop. Claude code waits for the event to execute and the JSON decision to be made, and only then does it continue its operation. This ensures controlled, event-driven behavior. Hooks operate as independent scripts, like black boxes. The tool's name and input are piped to the hook script, could be Python or a shell script, via standard in. The script crunches that input and then spits out a JSON decision using standard out. The important thing is that hooks are external executables, existing entirely outside the core system's memory space. Unnecessary executions can be avoided with precision matchers. Think of a matcher funnel. Background events are filtered based on the tool and its input. For instance, this JSON config shows that for pre-tool use events, the hook runs only if the tool's name is bash and the input matches the .git push. Regular expression. Precise matchers are an architectural requirement for us. When choosing between command hooks and prompt hooks, think about the task at hand. Command hooks, those executable scripts, directly handle raw input and output. Because they're deterministic, they're incredibly fast, perfect for things like validating with regular expressions, standard logging procedures, and enforcing security measures. Prompt hooks, however, use prompts evaluated by large language models. Pre-tool use decisions shape the entire execution. Think of it this way: pre-tool use triggers a choice: allow, block, or modify. Allow means business as usual. Block stops everything, sending a message back to the agent. Modify? That lets the tool run but tweaks the input or adds a system message. One critical thing: post-tool use can't change the tool's result. It can only see what happened and add messages. During the pre-tool use event, plugins operate independently. Think of it as a chain where order matters. Plugins load project first, then local, and finally global. Within each, hooks fire sequentially based on their registration in hooks.json. If multiple hooks target the same event, all will execute. Claude code doesn't resolve conflicts between these independent plugins. Keep potential conflicts in mind when designing your plugins. Cross-system portability hinges on using a root variable. Think of it this way: System A has one plugin directory, and System B, another. To make our hook scripts function seamlessly across both, we define CLA UR plugin root. Hard-coding paths? That breaks isolation. The rule reminds us: always build absolute paths referencing local config files via that root variable. This approach ensures our scripts work, no matter the system. Here's the core difference between fail open and fail closed. When a system hook, say for logging, runs into trouble, fail open keeps things moving. Traffic flows unimpeded, avoiding workflow interruptions. Fail closed is different. It's a security-first approach. If, for instance, a credential hook fails, traffic stops completely. That halt behavior needs to be built into the hook's error handling from the start. To ensure reliability, timeouts and errors trigger safe fallbacks. Each hook has a 60-second timeout. If a script throws an error, it automatically fails open. If you need a fail-closed approach, use try-catch blocks. Put your logic in the try block, catch any exceptions, and return a formatted JSON decision block. This ensures a controlled response to errors. Failing to recognize these architectural anti-patterns can really hurt you on the CC202. Think about fail open. If a logging API goes down, don't kill the user's session. That's a violation. Another one? EEO negligence. Always parse stdin. If you skip that step and don't get the tool name or input, your hook logic is dead in the water. Finally, temporal impossibility. You can't change a tool's result from a post-tool use hook.